Now, 1 Chronicles 16, a little background of the reading. The ark has been gone, or the presence of God has been gone out of the camp of Israel. There, they had put the ark on a new cart. It hit a rough place, and it fell. There, a man touched the ark of God, and he died. David, instead of taking it back to the camp, he moved it over into the house of Obed-Edom. And the Bible said, there for 90 days, God blessed him like no other time in his life. Boy, I remember when God come to my house, he's still in the blessing. Could you imagine the ark of God as it was in that old tabernacle? It meant the presence and the power of God, the glory come down off of that box. And the box was gone. And he put it in Obed-Edom's house, and God, could you imagine them little young'uns running around the house while mom and daddy toting them groceries in, saying, "Mom and daddy, what happened?" Say, "Oh, God, come in here." Boy, aren't you glad God's still in the blessing business this morning. But now David gets happy. In 1 Chronicles 16, they brought the ark and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. They offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. It's bad when you got to hire somebody to praise God. And Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, Jael, and all these names. But Asaph made sound with cymbals. Benaiah also and Jezahel, the priests, with trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Verse 7, then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph and his brethren. This is what he said. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all of His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We want to thank You for this good time together. Lord, I've been so weak in body. I want to ask You to help me this morning. Would You help me, Lord, to preach? I realize there's no preaching, God, by myself unless You send the Holy Ghost to the Holy One to come down. Would You help me and touch my spirit this morning? God, would You guard and ease my mind? God, would You put an angel of watch about my lips and I wouldn't say one thing, God, that You wouldn't be pleased with in this service? Thank You for this time. Thank You for this place, this people. Thank You for sending Your Son to make us a way to Your heaven. We love You and pray. Help me preach now. Help my voice today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. David said in verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, and make known His deeds among the people. I want to preach just a little while this morning on giving thanks unto the Lord. I want to say the pilgrims did some things, but the pilgrims is not the reason that we gathered here this morning. We're gathered here because we're pilgrims and strangers on a journey headed to the city. Now, some things that I thank God for this morning, it's already been said, but I don't think we've never said enough. I want to thank God, first of all, for the gift of salvation. Where would we be without the Lord? In Psalms 51, I love reading David's writings. If you'll read the writings after a man that God said was after His own heart, then it may do us good to see why God would say something like that about such a man as David. Now, if he is a man of that stature and that caliber that God would speak about, let's look in what he says about this thing of the gift of salvation. In Psalms 51, first of all, you'll notice that this God I'm talking about is a God of compassionate pardon. Now, I realize that the governor might be able to give you a pardon temporarily, but there's only one can grant you a pardon for all eternity. And that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because He sent His Son to take our place on an old rugged cross. And therefore, He said, we're saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest a man get to bragging and thinking something of himself. But it is by His amazing grace this morning. Here, David said, first of all, have. Now, oh, I don't know if I'll finish this sermon. I'm glad He's got it. Have. Glad He's got it. When you ain't got it and I ain't got it, thank God He still got it. Have mercy upon me. Not on my neighbor, not on my brother, not on my sister, but God have mercy on me. Oh, He's a God of pardon. I want to say, He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. And He says, blot out my transgressions. Now, watch your Bible. First of all, we see that He's a God of compassion. In verse number one, He's gracious. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. Now, not only is He gracious, but look in verse 1, He's generous. He said, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Not only this God of compassion is gracious, not only is He generous, but I'm glad He's gentle. The Bible said, according to Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Aren't you glad we have a God of compassion? Where would we be if it was not for a God of compassion? I would be careful if I was you or if I was me. When I seen somebody come to this altar praying, I'd be careful to say they're getting what they deserve. Because I wonder really what me and you deserve this morning if it was not for this great God of compassion. And so we see that David says he's thankful for this gift of salvation. We see that he writes him to be a God, and we see his compassion. But now look at David's confession. He said in verse 2, wash me, not my neighbor, but wash me, Lord. Wash me. Look what it says. That word's not thoroughly, but throughly. From the top to the bottom, wash me. We see his confession. He said, for mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before. You know, I can't really look at your sin because how big mine is. And I do try to do right and live right. But I'd be careful turning my halo up too high. Boy, a man after God's own heart said, you know what? I want to be sure to remind you about my confession. But not only we see compassion and confession, look what he says about cleansing in verse number 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Time out. There's nothing no better than I know than to be right with my God. And there's nothing no more miserable for a man not to be right with his God. And boy, David talks about his confession. He talks about his cleansing. Verse number 4, he talks about his clearing. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. Now I want to say something. When we sin, not only do we do one another wrong, but we do God wrong. And therefore, he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. You mean God was a-looking? Oh, God's a-watching. And God's a-seeing everything. And it don't matter if you're doing it in the darkness of a closet or on the back dirt road where nobody knows you. There's a God in heaven that knows what me and you's a-doing this morning. And matter of fact, if He sees us then, thank God He sees us all the time. That lets me know we got a God that's not only looking, we got a God that's a-living. I'm glad when nobody else was a-looking, our God is a-looking about us. And I'm glad, honey, the times we didn't know what He was a-doing, He is a-watching out for me and you. Because He's a good God to us today. Boy, He's a God of great compassion. David said He's a God that's lasting. He's a God that's living. He's a God that's looking. But he said, I'm going to tell you, He's a God that's a-loving. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, son, how much more could God give me and you than what He's given? We think a lot of times when people do us kindness and give us gestures, and we say, you know, well, that was great. They showed me love in that. But let me tell you something. God did the ultimate sacrifice for me. He sent His Son to die for me and you. And I think a lot of times we've heard it so much we've got gospel hardened. But sinner friend, you listen to me today. God gave His Son that you could go to where He lives. And so therefore, I'm going to say this morning, as David said, remind the people of all the good things God done. Thank God for the gift of salvation. But you know, I've noticed something about a gift. You've got to receive it before it's yours. God's not going to force anything on you. The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. We're not robots. God sent His Son to die in our place. He took the wrath. The wrath of God went on His Son. You know something, isn't this amazing? As that prodigal child went way out in the hog pens of life. And yes, God will chastise His children, but I'll remind you this. God was sitting there patiently and compassionately waiting on that child to come back home. Why? Because the wrath of God was not on him in the hog pen. The wrath of God went on His Son. And boy, I'm glad there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm glad Jesus took the wrath of God for my place. And therefore, I'm protected by Him, by grace through faith. And I sure am glad for the gift of salvation. I'm going to tell you something. I've experienced a lot of things in this life. I've met a lot of people. I've got to go a lot of places. But I've never met nobody like Jesus Christ that has so changed my life and has so impacted me and has so changed my direction in my life. I want to thank God for the gift of salvation. You see, if it was not for the gift of salvation, we would have nothing to shout about. We would have nothing to tell about. I thank God for the gift of salvation. Number two, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, I want to say, I want to thank God for the growth of sanctification. For the growth of sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Preacher, what are you thankful about? Well, I'm thankful about the gift of salvation, but secondly, I'm thankful about the growth of sanctification. Well, I guess I'd tell you in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 1, Paul's writing and he says this, furthermore. In other words, I'm not done talking. And then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye received of us how ye ought to walk, and to, y'all underline this, and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave unto you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That word simply means purity. Let me tell you something. God expects His children to be different. Do we sin after we're saved? Why, sure. But I'm glad He said if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I can tell you one thing this morning. Maybe by my shame and by my failures and faults, I might not be where I could be. But I'm a long way from where I used to be. And I want to thank God for the growth of sanctification. This is where we better not forget if we're going to go any further as a church. We better not forget that where we are today, we didn't get here overnight. God is still knocking a bunch of rough edges off of me. And who am I to think that I would be any better than anybody else? If it wasn't for the grace of God and the growth of sanctification, I'd still be rolling weed every week. I'd be looking in a bottle. I'd be mistreating my wife. I'd be in bad places. It's real dim lit at the nighttime. But honey, let me tell you, there's something happened to me one August day in 1981. Paul said there was a light shined about him from heaven. I'm glad the glorious gospel entered my life. And I believe by the help of the Holy Ghost that dealt with me in my life. And I can't do what I used to do long. It's still in there. You heard about the old preacher and a little boy walking down the road. Little boy pushing a lawnmower. He said, preacher, said, I'll trade you this lawnmower for that slingshot. Preacher said, well, that'd be great, boy. He said, why are you getting rid of your lawnmower? He said, because it's making my daddy say ugly words. He said, why is it making your daddy say ugly words? He said, preacher, you pull on that long as daddy been pulling on it, they'll come back to you too. Now you listen to me, just cause we saved don't mean that it ain't in there. Cause it's still in there. This Bible teaches us that we're to walk by faith and we're to act, that we got a Holy Ghost that leads and guides, that lives in us. And he says, don't be doing that. Quit saying that. Quit going there. He said he's a guide. He'd lead and guide you into all truth. I don't need you to tell me I'm doing wrong. The Holy Ghost lives in me. Tell me I'm doing wrong. Now I'm going to give you something right here to help you in your Christianity. I'm talking about bread and tater preaching this morning. Look what he says. Verse number 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, convictions. Your convictions may not be my convictions. And I don't need to push my convictions on you. Now, a lot of you can ride a motorcycle and enjoy it. God won't let me ride one and enjoy it. I'm going to say this, some of you won't like this. I don't care if you like it or not. Some of you can get you a chew tobacco and it don't bother you. I wish it didn't bother me. That'd be a blessing to get up my deer stand and just spit. Because ain't none of you watching me. I could hear you walking up on me. I got cameras. I'd take pictures of you. But I done found out up and yonder in that deer stand, I ain't tried it in a long time, but I tell you one thing, it's in me to do it this week if I ain't careful. You little Christian looking something. Little Pharisee looking like you ain't got something up in your gizzard. Man, I can go in a convenience store and see me a skull can and it says, "Preacher, Preacher." Copenhagen over says, "Kenneth Wayne, Kenneth Wayne." I better guard this flesh. Flesh will get me in trouble. Just because I'm saved don't mean my flesh is took care of. This is what it means. Now my flesh bothers me. And boy, when you got the Holy Ghost lives in you, that flesh will get out of bounds. It'll go to bothering you. Now watch this. Paul had a passion. He said, "I beseech you, brethren," in verse 1. And then he says, not only of this thing of the growth of sanctification, is it a passion, but he said, there's a purpose. Look in verse 1. I'm going to give everybody something to help you, and it's 5 to 12. We ain't got church tonight, so I can preach to 2 o'clock. Somebody say amen. Now watch, it's going to help you. Not only his passion, but his purpose. This is going to help you. He said, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, as you receive of us how you ought to walk and to please God. Time out. Don't ask you, preacher, is it all right? You ask God, is it all right? It don't matter who you please in long as you please in Him. Because that's all matters at the end of the day. I'm going to tell you something. I would love to know that I could please this crowd. There ain't no way. I'd give up on that 19 years ago. I just lied. 15 years ago. No. I'm still trying to please everybody. But I can't. But let me tell you who I can please. Let me tell you where the ball's in my court. If I please Him or not. I want to please my wife. You say, you little hen-pecked fella. Amen. Hallelujah, son. I'm working on 34 years. It's getting better every week. Some of you ought to try it. All you got to do is say, yes, ma'am, go and do what you want to do. Amen. Ain't that right? Yes, ma'am. She asked me one day, she's going somewhere. She said, how this look? I said, oh, honey, you just look spectacular. Wonderful. Hon, you look good today. You know what she said? Right answer. If she didn't thought it looked good, she wasn't done put it on fixing to walk out. Right. She ain't got no problem telling me, you ain't wearing that, are you? But listen to me, folks. I want to please you. But I'm not going to compromise to please you. I want you to love you, preacher. If there's ever been a time, I'm starting 20 years here Christmas morning. 20 years I'm starting. I've seen a lot of things happen in 20 years. I want you to love me. And I need you to love me more now than I've ever needed anybody to love me. Let me tell you, I'm not going to compromise to get you to love me. You'll never go wrong doing right. My little grandbabies come running up here. I'm glad we're not at a pharisaical type church. They run on the stage. If these ribs wouldn't bust it, I'd have one in each hand this morning going for the glory of God. What are you saying? We just got to please God. That's what we got to live for. In my life, it's got to please God. Is your life pleasing God? It don't matter what your neighbor thinks or your boss thinks. It don't matter what your children think. It's what God think about what you're doing. Paul didn't say nothing about us pleasing Him. Paul didn't write this Bible for Him. He wrote it for God. The purpose. Look what it says. He says this, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence. That's a big old word. Bring it down in country vernacular. It means to lust after or go after. Look, even as the Gentiles which know not God. In other words, he said, if you and me are saved, we ought to act like we're saved. And we ought to never act like we're no better than nobody else. Watch this, verse 6, underline it. I know some of you fellas in business wish a lot of your Christian friends had read this verse. That no man go beyond and defraud. I looked that word up this morning. You know what that word defraud means? It means get an advantage of. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother. Look, in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. You know what I found out? Brother Jake, honey, you know what I found out about people that's ugly to me? And it's hard for me not to be ugly back. I was raised in the country. And some of you forgot about that. But if you're not careful, it'll come back to you. Because it's in us. I'm going to remind you, it's in you. It's in you. But I found this out, Brother Jake. If I can find it in me, and it's hard. Watch what the Bible said. I seen a verse preaching the other night. I want to preach a whole message on it. He says, as much as life within you, have peace with all men. Jesus said, when they pop you on the right jaw, turn the left. Oh, y'all got all this figured out, ain't you? It's what I figured out, Brother Jake. If I'll just do like this Bible says, then God always has the last so. Look what he says. For God, let me tell you something. Time out just a minute. God may not stop you from doing what you're going to do, but you're not going to stop God from doing what he's going to do neither. For God, the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also have forewarned you and testified. Watch, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, hath given to us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Listen, folks. We can agree to disagree. You ain't got to dot your I and cross your T just like I do. Some of you have. That's why some of you drink unsweet tea and sweet tea. Why in the world you'd want to put that saccharin in your blood, I don't know. But sugar will help you. Somebody say amen. Now watch this now. It's going to help you. We get to 11. I want you to underline it. Then I'm going to get the last point and I'll be done. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now look in verse 1. Paul said that before. More and more. He's wanting you to abound more. He says, don't think you've arrived. You can always go further. That's like what Brother Randy said. You better keep your mind on ministry. Time out. Let me say something right here while there ain't many visitors here. Don't let Santa Claus get your Jesus money December. These 50 missionaries counting on you not to forget about your tithe. Now watch. Underline this. That you study. Homework. Look up here. We ain't praying, we're preaching. Study to be quiet. And do your own business. Whatever happened to that saying, mind your own bizwax. Y'all didn't like that. See if you like this. Study means you gotta spend some time about it. You know, I've noticed this. I got more in my yard to see about than my neighbors. Well, Brother Mike ain't even washed his car. Why would he wear brown shoes with a black suit? Why would he wear a brown tie with a black suit? What you got on? Hello? Phone's ringing. Pick it up. Steady to be quiet. You believe John 3:16? Believe it all. Steady. Watch this. To do your own business. And watch this. I love what you said, Brother Randy. And to work with your own hands. Let me tell you, if you're going to serve God by convenience, you're not going to serve God much. It's called work. Young people, if you're going to amount to anything in life, it's not going to be by convenience. I love what Brother Randy said. That's a hobby. It ain't work. And you're not going to find no job without a belt in your britches with your pants down around your ankles. Somebody say amen. I'd love to see them filling out an application with no belt on, holding their britches up, say, yeah, I'm going to load a Pepsi truck. When? You're going to find a string to tie your britches up first. You little wimps. Give thanks unto the Lord, the gift of salvation. Secondly, the growth of sanctification. Let me tell you, you can live for God this day and hour. Does anybody believe that preacher this morning? Say amen. You can live for God in this day and this hour. Treat each other the way you want to be treated. Love each other. Listen to me. When you're down, you need to be loved then more than ever. Ma'am, when you're down, you need loving then more than ever. Don't shoot the wounded. Love them. Ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the meekness of fear, considering yourself. Don't kick them to the curb. Love them. Help them. If your child makes a mistake, love them. If your husband makes a mistake, love. It ain't no time for you to turn your back on him now. Sir, so what? She's messed up. It's no time to turn your back on her now. She's ironed and washed them old ragged socks of yours for 20 years. And now you say, well, she don't look like she used to when I married. You don't look the same neither, bud. I don't see Esquire magazine writing you no letter to show up in New York. I tell you one thing, young people, you better marry for something besides looks. I can't say what I want to say, you can't take it. Give thanks unto the Lord. Are we doing all right? We doing okay? Give thanks unto the Lord. The gift of salvation. Anybody glad they got saved one day? Where would we be if God had left us alone? The growth of sanctification. But lastly, I thank God for the gathering. For the gathering of the congregation. The gathering of the congregation. Psalms 122, last place I go this morning. Psalms 122. Boy, God has been good to this church. Is anybody glad they come to Liberty Baptist Church? You could have your little woman with a dress on. Yeah, many do. And don't change nothing. They just keep going to church. I want to make a statement. Just because God's been here 20 years, I ain't staying another year without Him. A lot of people say, well, I ain't leaving that church. Grandma and Grandpa got saved there. If God left, I'd leave it. You let a woman preacher come in and take over. You looking at a boy and say, Bamoose, see ya. Hard to be the husband of one wife and be a woman and pastor a church. Now, you can do that whatever you want to, but I'm going to be straight on doctrine. I'm going to love you while I preach and smile at you. Reason Joel Osteen's got 30,000 people don't know no difference. He ain't never taught them nothing. Yay, man! It's about time some men of God rear back and say, this is the way it is. And the doors ain't locked. We want to love people, but we ain't compromising to fill up the building. There's a lot of buildings in Carroll County. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. My King James Bible. And I'm going to love you if you don't even let me love you. I'm going to love you anyhow. Just rub your nose in it. Stick your little hand out to somebody that's going to say, I'm going to love you anyhow. Turn. Stick. Say, I'm going to love you anyhow. Turn out. Tell him. Brother Steve, tell her. Say, I'm going to love you anyhow. She's been cooking you biscuits 40 years. You ought to love her. My wife is getting such an attitude. You know what she said? It's about time. I thank God for the gift of salvation. I thank God for the growth of sanctification. But lastly this morning, I thank God for the gathering of the congregation. I'm glad I got a good place to go to church. You don't know what it does. Miss Sherry, you come this morning if you would, sister. You don't know what it does, this preacher. See these little old young'uns come around this stage, say, hey, preacher. Drop our little old money in this bucket. Brother David said it right. Thank God for the parents. I commend you young people for coming to an old-time fundamental Baptist church where it seems like the world has just went crazy in church. Did you know this? Look it up. We got a little time. Bear with me. I don't get to preach tonight or Wednesday. Just think where I am a few Sundays. I'm a preacher. I don't get to preach to you no more till 2 weeks. Brother Dana's preaching Sunday. Listen to me. But I may preach before he gets up next Sunday. Now the atheist, Brother Randy, did you know the atheist, one of the rock singers going around the country, look on YouTube, you can find it. They're starting assemblies now as atheists. Nashville, Tennessee's got one. Atlanta, Georgia has one. They're growing in great popularity, and this is what they said. You know, we've heard, this is what they said, tickle me. They said, we've heard some preachers that were motivated speakers. And we think that that could help us in our culture, but now we're not going to believe in Jesus. And we notice they sing songs and everybody gets happy. We're going to sing some songs. And one of the songs that they sang was Lean On Me. Honey, I'm glad everybody ain't leaning on me. I'm broke. You hear me this morning? Thank God everybody ain't leaning on me. You better learn to lean on Him. Am I helping anybody this morning? These cults, this stuff, Islam, it's taking our nation, taking our country. And you know what's so bad? It's taking our babies to hell with them. What happened to old leather lung preachers that cry, preach a stern message that'd change your life, and you couldn't wait to get back in there to hear him to the next Sunday? Now they're popping up all around our country, atheists, going to encourage because there's been some Baptist preachers that was good motivational speakers. I learned that at Pepsi-Cola. But honey, let me tell you, this Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. That's the end of the conversation. You're here lost today. Jesus would save you if you'd come. Matter of fact, I wouldn't know of a better Sunday morning to make my way to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I'm going to do just like David. Cleanse me. God help me. God save me. God restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God help me. Let me tell you, sinner friend, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how long you've been doing it. The blood of Jesus washed you clean this morning. Mom and Daddy, we're going to make mistakes. Get up. Brush yourself off. Ask Jesus to forgive you and keep going on for the glory of God. We don't need quitters in this thing. We got to keep pushing ahead. There's a pride. There's a mark out yonder where we're headed to. There's a congregation counting on you. Counting on me. Can I ask you something? I'm trying my best. But I've had a long time to think this week. I don't want to tell the devil. It's just been so good, I don't want to tell him. Yeah, I'm going to tell him. God's really helped me the last 2 days. God has helped me in my mind, my spirit. And I thank Him for that. And let me tell you something. I like what Brother Randy said about that work. We've all got a job to do. What would have happened if He'd have skipped over you? Listen, hon, you want to be saved this morning? Come to Christ. Sir, won't you come to Christ? Be the best Thanksgiving you've ever been at. Boy, I'm grateful for the gift of salvation. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank God, may it never get old in my heart of what you've done for me and where you found me. But Lord, there was places I woke up, didn't even know how I got there. And God, you saved me. You put a suit on me. You put the Holy Ghost in me and a Bible in my hand. I pray. You give me a family, God. You give me a church, and I praise you for it. And I'm not scared to give you praise. You can go down yonder at the ball game and shout your head off. Why can't you give Jesus praise? Thank God for the growth of sanctification. I'm glad, Brother Mike. 1981, how long I've been saved? 32 years. Some of you mathematicians, is that right? 32 years, that's older than the majority of this crowd. Thank God I'm not what I used to be. A liar, a perjurer, a stealer, dope smoker, joke teller, fighter. Did I say scallywag? But God saved me. And He can do that for you this morning. Thank God for the gathering. Thank God for the people who get to go to church. Well, this altar is open. My sister playing. Anything you want to come and thank Him for this morning, you come.